Hey, welcome to Resonate's Sermon Q&A podcast. We are so thankful for the questions that have been submitted, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our time together. Now, let's begin the show.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Sermon Q&A podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Jim. I'm our executive pastor here at Resonate, and I'm joined by...
Angela Yee. I'm the Connections Minister.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jonathan Lubers. I'm the online campus director and the mission director here at Resonate.
And I get to be on mic. They're feeling dangerous today. They're like, Scott, we're going to let you in there. Scott Taylor. I am the discipleship pastor at Resonate and super excited to be here.
I think he's the wealth of wisdom in the room. So.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Look forward to hearing the sultry sound of his voice.
I have more gray hair, but you're giving me a rhyme. Your beard is definitely winning.
I know. I tried to shave off my gray hair. It's not. It just keeps coming back. So, yeah. Well, hey, welcome to our podcast. We are talking about Sabbath today, Pastor Ryan introduced that on Sunday. Super thankful for his sermon. And I just want to set the precedence on our podcast. You know, we have not spent a lot of time looking at these questions. Mm-hmm. They're in front of us, and so we've been reading through them. But, you know, essentially what we want you to know is that we have the same tool in the room today to answer these questions as you would with any of your coworkers, and that is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We just prayed and asked God, would you help us answer these? We don't have like a huge Bible in front of us or, you know, some sort of lexicon or Bible dictionary or concordance. We don't have any of those things. And we just want to answer these questions as they come to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we want to encourage you in this, that you can answer these questions as people come up to you in the, you know, in the break room at work or on the sports field or maybe, you know, when you're just hanging out with some friends and, you know, same wisdom, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is what you have right now, which is the Holy Spirit inside you. So, so just setting the precedence there. And I just want to ask all of us here, like, what did God say to you guys this weekend as you listened to Pastor Ryan's sermon? Mm-hmm. Angela, what was God speaking to you about?
Yeah, I was really like surprised by when he said he created man on the sixth day and on the seventh day God rested. Yep. And then the first experience man had with God was rest.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that is really, really cool. And that's like God's heart. Like he wants us to experience that rest with him. I never saw that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an aha for me too. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's so clearly in the scripture. But I just had never heard anyone teach that, and to think God's invitation was come rest in me. Like that's number one. I always put rest after work.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, I'd say if you can only listen to 5 minutes of the sermon, listen to the first 5 minutes, and it's like it's a full sermon. Like you could have walked away after 5 minutes, that's awesome. It would have been great. So the rest of it was great too. But John, how about you? What did God say to you?
Yeah, I'm always a big fan of thinking about the sovereignty of God and just how unique He is, how magnificent He is. And so when Ryan was talking about how the Lord rested on the seventh day, not in any way because He was tired. That stuck with me. It's not something that I hadn't thought about before, but I think that's a really powerful idea to let, you know, bounce around in our minds, because so often we associate Sabbath with needing to rest from work, like you were saying, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was struck. I really appreciated the organization of the sermon that Ryan laid out, because he was setting up how he wanted to show us this big picture of the whole Bible from the Garden of Eden until heaven comes back. Mm-hmm. And he was like tying in these themes. And I just love it when you see that kind of synthesis and to go, oh, God actually had Sabbath on his mind at the beginning and he has rest on his mind for the end. So I thought I was just encouraged thinking how important rest is to God, that he's inviting us to enter into his rest, and really like what is the culmination of all this look like? It's like God wants us to rest in him now, because we're going to find this ultimate joy and rest in him and what's ahead for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think for me, there was a couple of things. One was just the butt kicking of realizing that the fourth commandment is the Sabbath, and Pastor Ryan put it on the same level as murder and adultery.
Well, Pastor Ryan didn't.
Oh, yeah, God did. Yeah, that's that's a good distinction.
I think he was just reading Exodus 20.
So that was one part that I was like, oh, yeah, ouch.
Yeah,
ow. And you could just kind of hear that prevalent ouch in the room.
Yeah, sure.
The idea, like, why do we make an allowance for ourselves? We don't make any allowance for someone in lying or cheating, you know, or like stealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we make all kinds of excuses for why it's, well, I just got to work this week.
I'm busy.
I just got to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I feel like we even go further than that. We don't just make excuses, but we champion not resting, especially here in the Bay Area. And I mean, I've worked in some stressful jobs. Much of the time, whether it's a tacit thing or an overt thing, the person who works the hardest, stays the latest, exerts the most stress, energy, sweat is the best one.
Yeah. That's like every conversation you have. How are you this week? Oh, I'm really busy. It's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
John, tell the audience, like, what were you doing before you took over the online campus here and took this role? Because this is be really helpful for people to realize we're talking to real people in this room.
I would love to. So for those of you who don't know, I was an attorney before I was blessed to be brought out of that world to work here full time at Resonate Church. And I was working in mergers and acquisitions and venture capital financing in Silicon Valley. So lots of contract review and drafting.
Very restful career.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't tend to be known for that. The legal field tends
to... opposite. Yeah. No, what's more stressful?
It's interesting because... we could get into it, and I would love to at some point talk more about it, but man's law is very interesting in comparison to God's law, because the objectives are quite different, and the values are quite different.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Angela.
You know, just one more thing about the sermon. He said, Pastor Ryan said, Sabbath is resting in and living from the finished work of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I like to work. I just like to work hard. This is something I like to do. But I don't often think about resting from my work because I feel like I have to do it. Yeah. And it's not about Jesus' finished work. And so that was another like convicting moment for me because I feel like I have to finish the work. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that Jesus' finished work is enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went home after the service and my son had a bunch of friends over. And one of his friends sat down on my couch right after the service. And he had questions. He was like thinking about it. And he asked, he's like, work isn't bad, right? And, you know, and I'm just like, that was so awesome. You know, and he was processing it. And his question, he's like, the problem with work isn't that work is bad. It's where we put it in the equation. If we put it in front of our acceptance by God, then we're working in order, we're like striving for something. But if we put it after, like the finished work of Jesus, we put it after that, then it's like this fullness and this joy in our work. And so, yeah, Sabbath isn't attacking work. Sabbath is attacking, like, why we work.
Yeah, so there were a couple of questions, and I'll just jump right into these two, because I think this would be kind of fun, about church workers taking a Sabbath. You know?
Yeah. Did any staff post these? Do we have a way to verify
them? We have a hole amongst us.
We like the fact that these are anonymous. Most of them are anonymous. But, for the average person, maybe they don't realize that we work all week at the church.
Yeah, I get that question all the time.
Yeah, what do you do?
I mean,
you basically like
you work on Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, so this is quite a busy job. I mean, trying to keep up with the things, trying to keep up with Pastor Ryan is a busy enough job just as it is. But you know, so I'm wondering as we start, like, how do you guys rest? Like, what does Sabbath look like for you? Yeah. And we just need to confess off the bat, like, we are learning this all together, right?
I think I'm terrible at it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I think it's a vice, a flaw that it's something that I would repent of. And my wife is amazing. She actually leads me in this way. Like she kicks my butt in it. But I always feel the temptation to do one more thing, to try something more. And I heard someone say that whatever the idol of the culture is, that's going to be the idol that creeps into the church. And so I feel that in my own heart.
Yeah, just the busyness. So, okay, so tell us, how do you Sabbath then, Scott? Like, when you're healthy, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I love the idea of taking a day, like taking space that is marked out with a start and an end. And I feel like to take our day off is Friday, my day off is Friday, and to take a whole day where I'm
not trying to be productive in any way. I'm not trying to accomplish anything, clean something up. I feel like it forces me to slow down, and it forces me to have a different perspective. My problem is I crowd it. I'm like, oh, I need this errand. I need to go here, and I need to do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And so I heard one theologian, he was talking about how like a day off is different than a Sabbath, right? A day off, you know, we like fill it up with stuff and errands and things, but a Sabbath is like more intentional, and I wish I could be more intentional.
Yeah, purposeful rest.
Yeah.
How do you do it, John?
Well, I'll say my unhealthy way, and then I'll say my healthy way. So an unhealthy way, I think, is very easily articulated in Isaiah. So I'm cheating a little bit. I am looking at scripture here, but Isaiah 58.
I think that's allowed.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so. The Lord speaks in verses 13 and 14, and he says, in part, if you honor the Sabbath, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And where I fail is that I try to focus on my own pleasures, what I think is going to make me feel good, what I think is going to make me feel relaxed, play some video games, take a nap, do whatever it is that my heart feels like it desires. But when I'm in my best place, healthiest place, Sabbath always starts with, Lord, what would you have me do with this time? What would you have me do? Help me to Sabbath, because I am, like all things, incapable of doing so without your guidance and help.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. How about you, Angela?
Well, before I worked for Resonate, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was caring for my aging and sick parents, and I was a business owner. So it wasn't like space in my life to say, oh, I'm going to take a day off and not do these things because people would die. The concept of Sabbath really didn't become real to me till I actually started working here, you know, which I guess is a good thing. But I think in the beginning of my career here, I did it more out of like a duty thing because I'm a very dutiful person. So it was just easy for me to check the box off. And not really finding rest there. I think I'm evolving. I'm growing. And definitely growing in my faith walk with Jesus, you know, to trust him to leave things undone that I know Sunday is coming and it has to be done, but I'm going to just trust him and just leave that on a Friday. Friday is usually my day of rest. And now typically what I do is things that fills me and brings me life. So definitely time with Jesus. Like I don't have a specific time I stop or start. I just bring out my journal and I just spend time with Jesus. I do things that I enjoy, things like going swimming because no one can get a hold of me when I'm in the pool. I'll take my dog for an indeterminate amount of time for a walk, you know? Or like I'll cook something really yummy because I really want to sit down and enjoy a nice meal. Yes. I will take a nap, and most likely I will pick up a book to read, something that I really enjoy. Or sometimes it's gardening, just being out by myself in the garden, in the nature. So my Sabbath always includes something that's going to fill me up just with, you know, like thoughts and meditation of Christ and his work, and also life-giving. So sometimes I meet up with some friends and we go for a meal or something. So something that's life-giving, and I walk away from it just filled.
Yeah. I have to ask you a question, Angela. When you take a nap, do you set an alarm for when you wake up?
Not on my Sabbath day.
Okay, good for you.
Yes.
I have this picture of you're timed and efficient in everything. Yeah, she is. So.
Well, this is why a Sabbath day, I just do things that I enjoy and I don't set a time to anything.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I love it. I like it.
I feel like I'm less godly than all of you because kind of like the way that I've landed on Sabbath is not to overthink it, and it's just an absence of expectations for me. Like, that's how we define Sabbath is, you know, because I felt like when I was growing up, it was like, focus on the Sabbath. And then I made up all these rules about the Sabbath. And then it just exhausted me to try and keep the Sabbath. Right. And then, you know, then I just like throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm like, forget that. So now I'm like purposely trying to live without expectations. So if I want to work because it brings me joy, I'll do it. And if I want to, you know, watch a movie because it brings me joy, then I'll do it. And if I want to, you know, hang out with some friends, then I'll do it. But it's a day that I usually have unplugged, unplanned, and don't respond to things that I don't want to respond to. It's just, and then, you know, the other thing for me was we were sharing a church building with a Seventh-day Adventist church one time, which, you know, they are the Seventh-day Adventist believers in Jesus. I think we're going to be in heaven with them, enjoying relationship with Jesus with them. And yet they have a really different view on the Sabbath than we do. They are very legalistic about it.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with this one dude, and he's like, hey, you know, we really believe Sabbath is from sundown to sundown. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Tell me more. And he started to explain it to me, and I went, oh, that totally makes sense. You know, just to have a 24-hour period out of absence of expectations. And I really love that. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I've been trying to practice. But I have to say that Sabbath for me changes in every season. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we didn't have kids, that was one part. When we were single, that was one part. When we had kids and older kids, and then when, you know, when our kids were following us around, that was, we Sabbath one way. When our kids were following, or when we were following our kids around, that was another thing. And so, you know, we've just learned in every season, now we're empty nesters almost, and it just,
every day's a Sabbath.
Yeah, it just, it's different though, right? It's different the way that you are purposely intentional about it. So, yeah.
I love what you're saying too, because you're talking about the legalistic side of that, where it becomes another burden, right? Like we just add a burden. We're so good at like adding burdens to ourselves. And one of the thoughts that Pastor Ryan shared on Sunday, I jotted it down in my notes, and he said, it's not so much what you do, but who you're with. Hmm. And that just drew me into the idea of the legalistic side of saying, do this, don't do this. But like, well, that's a burden. But if it actually becomes space, mm-hmm. where I'm setting other things aside intentionally so I can be with God, then I have a completely different motivation for Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking when you were talking, Jim, I love how you ended with the purposeful nature of what it is that you do, because I think it could be easy for some of us, you know, listening to this, being like, oh, it's do whatever I want. And there is a degree of that, but it's within the freedom of abiding with Christ. And he says, do whatever you want with me. I feel like that's how I tend to experience Sabbath, is I give it to him. I say, Lord, would you show me what to do, how to enjoy you and be with you, to your point, Scott, on this day? And he may say, watch a movie. He may say, play a video game. But I feel like I personally, I always need to ask that question of like, Lord, will you be in this space with me? Because if I try and do those activities without integrating him into them, it's a much different experience.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I realize that my life is really busy with a lot of activities. There's always something coming at me, and my Sabbath days are usually alone, so I get a lot of quiet space. Mm-hmm. And it's just really good just to be sitting there listening and having listening prayers as I'm walking and I'm doing something, baking or whatever. I get to like be hearing God. Yeah.
All right, we got to jump into some of the questions here. So here's the first question, and this one got voted with 40 questions right to the top. It's, what can I do to experience the Lord during Sabbath? So mm-hmm. we've kind of been dancing around a little bit, but mm-hmm. how do you guys experience God during Sabbath?
Yeah.
The way I experience him the most is when I'm out walking. Like okay. I'm breathing air in. I don't have my phone with me. I go to Quarry Lakes or Lake Elizabeth, or sometimes when I'm adventurous, I'll go down to Mount Hermon, and I'll just walk the trails at Mount Hermon, and I can like feel the air of the redwoods.
I can smell it. Yeah, I love it.
It's like there's something soulish in that.
Yeah.
And I try to set things aside so that I'm not brought back in. It's like I was. Just yesterday was our anniversary, Christy and I. It's 29
Congrats.
Years.
Yeah.
And we went out to dinner. We're having dinner together. And I'm like, what kind of dinner would it have been to be with my wife while we're celebrating our anniversary if I was trying to write work emails while I was with her? You know? So if the goal is to be with Jesus, I don't want my phone. Mm-hmm. I leave it in the car when I go for a walk. And just that pace slows everything down, and I feel more with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question is actually, what can I do to experience the Lord during Sabbath? So you're saying walking around.
My answer is, get rid of your phone.
Yeah.
Go for a walk and breathe.
Now, I know you well enough too, Scott, that you love worship music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that like part of a Sabbath experience for you sometimes?
Well, see, it's hard because every one of the 7 days at my house has music. Gotcha.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, I always have music on, and that is a part of my space when I'm Sabbathing. And
that helps
I
you experience.
I almost always have a meal. So I cook and prepare a meal. It's like a time of delight with my family on Friday nights. Like Christy would come home from work. She knows I'm planning something. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to be together over eating something delicious.
Yeah. Okay. How about you guys?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned, Scott, that you always use worship music as a way to experience the Lord. Because I think that sometimes we can think, oh, the Sabbath is a time where it's holy. It's set apart, right? So I have to do something that I never otherwise would do. Mm. But no, you may have good practices built into your life every single day that you do to receive Sabbath or to abide with Jesus. I would say for me, and this is not tongue-in-cheek, I'm trying to explain this in the most genuine way I can, I love reading scripture without expectation. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite thing because I know that it's trustworthy. It is the purest form of being able to talk with and engage with the Lord. And I just let my curiosity go. So I'm not looking at a Bible study plan. I'm not trying to read X amount of chapters in X amount of time. I am just saying, hey, Lord, would you teach me something from this? And I'm going where my heart feels full.
Yeah.
And that can look like a lot of different things.
I love that twice now we're talking about the checklist sort of spirituality. And both you and Jim are saying, like, there's something in the Sabbath where, like, leave the checklist behind.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you're reading the Bible, but not to check the list.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love the Psalms. I mean, not tongue-in-cheek, but I do have to have my Bible and a journal. Mm. I feel like that's one way that the Holy Spirit just speaks through me when I read a passage and I can just journal my thoughts. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, did I say that? Like, no, the Holy Spirit put that in me. So just a lot of meditation and just time just to like write out prayers, to be able to commune with God in a way that, there's a lot of room, a lot of space to breathe and thoughts to write down and scripture to meditate on and then to contemplate on all day.
Yeah.
I'm not a journaler at all. And sometimes I just like to take my Bible audibly and just listen while I'm walking around Coyote Hills or something. That's been pretty helpful to me. Or listen to another book. Like I've one of my favorite just kind of restful books right now has been Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And just listening to that, like breathing through a chapter has been really good. Mm-hmm.
Normal speed or double speed?
Oh, I'm a double speed guy.
His brain works.
That
so
was
fast.
One of my highlights from Sunday. If you were in the Fremont campus, Jim shared the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and confessed how he listens to it on double speed.
Yeah, it's a. It was awesome. I don't know. Things sometimes I just
maybe you need to read it again.
It actually stresses me out. Like if I listen to it on slower, I'm like, that's not restful, you know. So I think you have to be you in that space.
Yeah, that's great. So, be you.
And I think chasing that sense of discomfort of what is wrong here, Lord? Am I really being able to Sabbath in this moment? It's something that through my life and some of the turmoil that I've experienced, I've really come to appreciate is what is going on in my mind. If I'm spending most of my Sabbath battling the thoughts that I shouldn't think about, like, oh, this is going too slowly, then maybe you just need to go 2x speed. The Bible doesn't say don't go 2x speed.
That's right. Yeah. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Right.
You know, is what he says. So, all right, I'm going to jump to the next question. Are there certain activities that are not conducive to resting in God? Can one rest in God while watching movies, television, or scrolling through social media? I like the, I've heard people use the term now, doom scrolling. Just continuously flick, 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 flick. So, what do you guys think?
Oh, well, I will take a stab and say, just looking at the question, can one rest in God? I think some people can. I am not one of those people. And I think that taking the time to do an honest evaluation of when I was engaging with this thing, was I being filled by the Lord, is a powerful exercise to go through. Because my wife, Dani, she does it all the time. She Sabbaths with the TV on all the time. It's one of her giftings. But for me, I would be so distracted that I just wouldn't be able to do it. But it takes trial and error to understand what works.
Like I asked myself the question, after scrolling through all the social media, am I feeling more rested?
Am I feeling more encouraged?
Yeah.
Am I feeling more filled?
Yeah.
And most often than that, the answer is no. I just spent an hour and I should have been in bed, you know? And so I think the gauge is like, is your soul filled up with more of Jesus? Are you more at peace? Is your blood pressure lower? Because you know that Jesus loves you and you just can accept his grace and enjoy that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on like a theology of amusement, you know, but we probably should. Like we should probably preach.
Oh my gosh, like, I would love that.
Right. But I love what you're saying because you have to stop and realize and evaluate what drains you and what refreshes you. And I think if we were self-aware, if we actually took a moment to think of those things, it might change some of our activities.
Mm-hmm. I'll just say a quick word to some of you out there who may be in the realm of enjoying video games, for example. There's value in just being honest with yourself and with the Lord. Because if I'm being honest, there are plenty of times where video games drain me. I'm so frustrated. I'm trying to beat something. My teammates aren't cooperating. Like, that just happens. But there are also times where God's invited into that space, and I enjoy it with him. But it feels different. Paying attention to what the Lord is doing in your heart and mind is just so important, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I just echo your guys' sentiments. I think you have to look at it and go, am I more restful by the end of it? And it might, you know, Sabbath might be a trial and error thing for a while. You know, like, is cooking, you know, I tried cooking when I was on my sabbatical, and I think I poisoned my family, and
it wasn't stressful.
It wasn't helpful at all.
Stressful for you and stressful for your family.
It wasn't good. So we, you know, so like eating out on the Sabbath is really helpful.
Yeah.
Like,
sure. Yeah. But for me, it really is a restful thing.
Yeah. I love that.
Like when I'm slicing something or turning a grill on, I feel a soulish recharging.
Yeah. I like baking, but I will leave my stuff and clean it later.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wow, Angela.
That's like that a cool distinction.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. So, okay, and the next question, how do I determine the line between too much rest versus not enough rest in my life? Is it possible to rest too much in the Lord? I love that saying that, you know, you're so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good, which I think is absolutely impossible, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that can work. It seems like this question is asking two different questions, because one is, like, too much rest versus not enough rest in life. And that's sort of like a physical recharging. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just an awareness. God could have made humans where we don't need to sleep. But he chose to make this world and make humans where every day you run out of energy and you need to sleep in order to recharge. He did that on purpose, right? And there's something when we talk about rest of, like, if you run a marathon, you need to rest. If you've been up working all day, like you need to rest. There's like humans are, he made us with finite limitations on purpose. Hmm. And so there has to be a rhythm of rest. But then the second question seems to me a different question. Is it possible to rest too much in the Lord? Hmm. And in that way, I feel like that question might be asking more like a soul, like a weariness. Like, am I trusting the Lord? And so are you trusting God too much? The answer is no, right? But then when I think of how to rest too much in the Lord, my thought is, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your soul. So there's a sense of trusting him where you can't trust him too much. But the question then is, how do we obey him? Like, how do we do the things he's asking us to do? How do we engage in our life in the way that God made us to engage?
Well, I just wonder if maybe they're asking the question, you know, there's this misconception in scripture that God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually, you know, not
so it's like, it's not in there, you know? And so is it possible to rest too much in the Lord? Not at all.
Yeah, right? Not at all.
No, you once you rest in the Lord as much as you need to, he will direct your paths and everything.
An old song by Rich Mullins says, there's a rest you can find in your work that you can't get out of sleep. And so I think when we're actually living our lives with the purpose that God has for us, in step with the Spirit, in obedience, we feel recharged from that. It's life-giving from that.
Yeah. Let me go to the next question here. Are there signs that you are rested well, that you have Sabbath well? We try to Sabbath, but it's hard to know if my family is doing it well. There's a lot of wells there, isn't there? Yeah. Yep. So,
yeah, I'd love to just jump in and maybe tie this to the last question too, in the sense that I think we're circling around or going back or continuing to touch on just the importance of being in unity with the Holy Spirit, which we really just kicked the podcast off with. And so in respect to resting too much, I'm just going to throw out a thought. When I was depressed, I slept all the time. Mm-hmm. How did I know that it was too much? It didn't fill my soul.
That's right.
Like I was talking about. Not rest enough? Is your soul being filled? Are you resting in the Lord adequately or appropriately? Are you exploiting his grace? Maybe there's something in that question. How is your soul doing? Ask the Holy Spirit. And so I think that that's also one answer or one piece of the answer to this question as well. What are the signs? Is there stuff going on within your household that doesn't look like Jesus? And maybe it is because he's growing you, or maybe it's because there's something new that you can do, something that you can try differently.
Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the flesh, disunity, brokenness. I mean, I think there might be some good ways to tell, but I think, you know, that the answer there just being, is your soul full?
Yeah.
You know, do you feel like there's a depth, you know, and you're like, I actually did get filled today. And I just got to tell our audience too, this, sometimes it takes a long time to figure out how that feels, mm-hmm. right? That's not a minor league question, you know, that I think that is a hard, and you just got to keep coming back and saying, well, that didn't work. Well, that didn't work. Well, that didn't work. Oh, look, that actually might be helpful. So
yeah,
Angela, Scott, you have any perspective on this one?
I'm just thinking about my own family. When I raised them, I don't think we introduced the idea of Sabbath rest besides just, you know, we go to church on Sunday, we go to a meal afterwards and take a nap afterwards. So, you know, but I think definitely it has to do with like feeling connected with God and just receiving that affirmation from God, you know, versus still striving to reach something that you're trying to finish or accomplish. Mm-hmm. I think there that might be a little bit different there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I want to go to the next one. Is Sabbath an invitation to or it says, if Sabbath is an invitation to imitation, is 6 days of work also to be imitated, especially in our society's need to be entertained? Do we perhaps work too little? Oh, man, this is a great question.
I want to hear from Scott on this.
So. Yeah, go ahead, Scott. Yeah.
I think it's really clear in the scripture that God worked for six and took one off. Mm-hmm. I think 6 days of work is a beautiful thing. I don't know that I could be convinced easily that our culture works too little. Mm-hmm. Like I really know very, very few people that we would call successful that would also claim that they don't work very much, right? That there's this tie to productivity and achievement and busyness that we link in our culture. So in our society, it seems like a sort of confusing thing. They're talking about the need to be entertained. Do we perhaps work too little? What I would say is I think it's great to be productive 6 days, but to have the intentional space that we stop, thinking back to even like agriculture, you know, like there's like a need to do something, but we're saying I'm putting God first. I'm gonna actually put him above my productivity. And I think 1 out of 7 is enough to do that.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting correlation in the Old Testament where maybe the Jews were, the Israelites, they're working 6 days a week, but they're also living in their village. They're in a Gregorian mm-hmm. society. Yep. They're, you know, and so we, in essence, work 5 days a week for somebody else. We spend a day working in our own yards and yep. cleaning our houses, doing our laundry, and then we actually have a Sabbath day.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a typical rhythm, at least of our week, that there's enough stuff that is built up through the week yeah. that we naturally need a day to clear up our mess.
Yeah, even if someone was retired and was living a lifestyle where we fill our days up with stuff
mm-hmm.
that keeps our attention off God.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, the next question is fantastic. Are pastors, elders, and leaders practicing Sabbath for a whole day, every week?
Some better than others.
Yeah. And see, I love that, Scott, and that's where I would go to, is like, genuinely, ask your leader, pastor, or elder. Mm. I wouldn't want to hazard to guess on behalf of every single person, because we're all so different in where we're at in our relationship with Jesus, but I think it's really valuable to ask that question. You might just learn something from them and be the bump from the Holy Spirit that they need to say, oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's a way you can ask where it's not like you're evaluating them,
right?
But it's out of love for them, that you want them to experience the fullness and the refreshing of God. And it's hard. It's a great question, because ministry, people have needs every day of the week. People, the job doesn't finish, right? And so there's a temptation for people in ministry to just keep doing this because it's for the Lord and because people have needs. And so the space to say, God, even in my ministry, I believe it's not my work that does it, but it's your work. It's not me trying harder. It's you doing miracles around me. It's you being at work in people's lives. So your question can be an encouragement,
right?
But I would hate for any elder to feel like you're testing them. But instead, if they feel like you're serving them, loving them.
I like what Pastor Ryan says often to us as a staff team, is that the people we are serving at Resonate, the church that we're serving at Resonate, you guys, you work very hard. Mm-hmm. And so we want to match that level of work ethic. And so we're, you know, so I know Pastor Ryan lives in this tension of, he sees all of you working so hard. And so he wants to work hard. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't help him take a break.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, I don't want to be seen as lazy. And he's not a lazy man at all. He's a very productive man. So it's interesting because, you know, I think on both sides, it's like we can practice this for each other and help each other take a break, you know. And when Ryan actually takes a break, it gives me permission to take a break.
Sure. Yeah,
right. When you guys out there that maybe don't work at the church, when you take a break, it enables us to take a break too. When we take a break, it enables you to take a break, you know?
You know what I really appreciated is when I get an email or a text from somebody that says, hey, I know it's your day off, but I wanted to put it out there before I forgot, you know, you don't need to take care of this right away. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that they're encouraging me to even know, oh, I don't need to attend to that today. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. There's a question. Are there seasons when it is understandable not to take a Sabbath? Like when you have a new baby or a new job or finals or emergency situations? Have you guys been in that? Is it okay not to take a Sabbath?
I would say, and this is a good thing, okay? It's not a restrictive thing, it's a freeing thing. No, there are not seasons where it is okay not to take a Sabbath. We need this. It's good for you. If you're someone like me, who you're ambitious, you like getting things done, you like taking care of stuff, you like seeing productivity behind you, I understand the struggle. But I think part of the commandment for Sabbath is saying, no, this is actually the better way. And that's why it's something that God commands us to do. It's a freeing thing, not a restricting thing.
I want to ask you this question again in about 6 months after you guys have your first baby, John.
So I love that because, I kind of had a side question for the table that I won't let take up too much time, but I think Jesus kept the Sabbath. Mm. I think that while he was healing on the Sabbath, he was keeping the Sabbath. And so to that degree that the Pharisees thought that he was breaking the Sabbath, I think we have to reorient, as we've been talking about all afternoon, how we understand what Sabbath is. And that really helps here.
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, when you have a new baby, it's like what Angela said, you take time off, the baby's going to die.
Yeah.
You know, so Sabbath just looks really different in that season. Mm-hmm.
I think about it in terms of tithing, that there are times when you're financially tight and the temptation is to keep that 10%, believing you'll live better on 10/10 than you will on 9/10, right? But what God's inviting us to with the tithe is to trust and experience him as the provider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the truth is, the world's math doesn't work. God's math is that your 9/10 will actually go further than your 10/10 because he's the one that does it. It's like he's the one provider for you. And I think the same with our time, that if we take more time for ourselves, I don't think you're actually going to find that you're more productive or flourishing in a better way. I think that God's promise and his blessing that he associates, this is the only commandment with blessing, by the way, that the days would be long on the land the Lord your God gives you. Like, it's this beautiful promise that he's saying. And I think that when we still hold to that space for saying, God, I'm going to trust you, not my management of my time or my productivity at my work, then I believe that God He's honored by that. I believe that we live better on our 6/7 than we do on our 7/7.
Yeah, I love that and completely agree. I would just hate for a mom to go home and feel guilty because they're not able to take the whole day off. So can you speak into that a little bit, Angela?
Yeah. So when my kids were young, you know, I used to wake up early in the morning, have my quiet time. And then I had a baby and there was no morning because every day was blurred together.
Sure.
And so I started feeling really guilty that I couldn't open my Bible or I'd fall asleep. And somewhere 3 or 4 months into it, when we actually, you know, got back on our feet, I would just take the first nap time as my time with Jesus. You know, so I would not do the laundry. I wouldn't do the things that I felt like that's what I had to do. And that was just really refreshing to my soul. And so that I kind of kept that up as a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. And then at church, I didn't serve in the nursery or in children's ministry because I had the kids all week. And it wasn't restful for me to do that. But instead, I served in production. And that was really fun. And so, like, I found ways to continue to serve and continue to live in the environment that I had, but not doing the things that were draining me, but actually giving me life.
Yeah. And that's where, like, for that new parent to realize that finding the rhythms and loving your family and changing a diaper are actually the ways God wants you to obey him and advance his kingdom. Like, you're actually fulfilling God's will for your life while you're doing those things.
Yeah, if I could just give a quick plug for, I encourage you folks out there who maybe it's hard for you, like it always is for me, to think that God does more work with the 6 out of 7 than he does with a 7 out of 7. I challenge you to try, to try. I have seen too many times where I have said, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this thing that feels like it's eating away at me and needs to be taken care of right now. And he'll just resolve it. He's God. It's amazing to see how he does his work.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the challenge in that. Okay, we got to wrap this up, but I'm wondering, do any of you have any resources that have been helpful for Sabbath for you? You know, something that we could point listeners to for further thinking on this.
Yeah, I love the John Mark Comer book that you pointed out, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yeah.
I like it because it gives a perspective about the way time and the way we view time and use time has changed in our culture over the past hundreds of years. And it also gives really practical help for how to find a rhythm in your life where you're experiencing God. So I'd encourage anyone to read it.
Yeah, I like John Mark Comer's Garden City. I read that last summer. And he actually prepares for the Sabbath the day before the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath day is really, truly like a restful day because he's already cooked all his food and he's already cleaned the house. And so I thought that was just a really good idea to be planning on that time with Jesus intentionally.
Yeah, I want to point out this one resource called Habits of the Household by Justin Early. It's not particularly on Sabbath, but it is practicing the story of God in everyday family rhythms. And so especially if you're a young family, trying to figure out, you know, like what you said, Angela, like how do you fit that time with God into your day when you're just a busy mom? So Habits of the Household, I think that could be really helpful. All right. Awesome. Yeah, we've got to wrap it up. So thank you to all of you who spoke today and helped. And we just want to remind all of our listeners, we did not get to every question.
Right.
And we're sorry about that. But you are welcome to come talk to MC leaders, our missional community leaders. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to come talk to the staff. You're welcome to come ask the elders. We would love to help answer any of these questions and engage in ongoing. We can find more resources, and we'd love to be a part. This coming week, we're going to talk about the nature of the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we're talking about nurturing that by using the Sabbath as a worship day. Mm-hmm. And so these sermons are going to continue to unfold and help us understand the nature of God and how to nurture that nature into our world and where we live. So it's an exciting time at Resonate. Yeah, I hope you're joining us for the summer. And I hope you're sharing this podcast. Invite people to come join us. You know, people across the Bay Area are so overworked and do not even have the slightest clue on how to rest. And so for us to show up and say, let me show you how to rest because we know the finished work of Christ, like that's a beautiful thing. So yeah, hope you get to do that today. And we will see you next time on the Q&A podcast.
that's a wrap. Thank you for hanging with us as we dive into these tough questions. We encourage you to share this podcast with those in your circles, and we encourage you to share with us any more questions that you might have. Thanks for being with us.